بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we went through an introduction into the seerah and how a person should study the seerah. And in this lesson, we begin reading the book Mukhtasir Sirat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a short biography of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ashabihi al-ashr, and his 10 companions, which was compiled by al-Imam Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi rahimahullah. And in the introduction, the author began by saying, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim wa bihi thiqati. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy, wa bihi thiqati, and in Him is my trust. In Allah is my trust. And then it says, and it's page 19 in the English, قال الشيخ الإمام الحبر الحافظ أبو محمد عبد الغني بن عبد الواحد المقدسي رضي الله عنه وأرضاه. The Imam, the renowned scholar, the Hafiz, Abu Muhammad Abdul Ghani ibn Abdul Wahid al-Maqdisi radiyallahu anhu said. So this portion of the introduction, of course, this isn't the words of the author. This introduction, this is the words of the person who copied the book. So in the olden days, because there wasn't publications and printing, you would have somebody called a nasikh. And a nasikh is somebody who would physically copy the book. And maybe he would copy 10 books or 20 books from the original manuscript which the author had written. So the author, he began by saying, in the name of Allah. And then he said, Alhamdulillah, praises to Allah. The nasikh, the one who was copying the original manuscript and making copies, he mentioned that the Imam, the renowned scholar, the Hafiz, Abu Muhammad Abdul Ghani ibn Abdul Wahid al-Maqdisi radiyallahu anhu said. And then the author said, he said, Alhamdulillahi khaliq al-ardi wa-sama. All praise is for Allah, the One who created the earth and the heavens. Wa ja'il al-nur wa-dhulma, the One who made light and darkness. وَجَامِعِ الْخَلْقِ, the One who will gather together all creation. لِفَصْلِ الْقَضَى, on that day in which there will be the final judgment. لِفَوْزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, so that those who do good will be successful. وَشَقْوَةِ أَهْلِ الشَّقَاءِ, and those who did evil will be wretched. The author said, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهِ شهادة يسعد به بها قائلها يوم اللقاء. He said, I bear witness there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. He is alone and he has no partners. شهادة يسعد بها قائلها يوم الجزاء. And this testimony, the one who says it will be pleased and happy on the day of recompense. He said, وَصَلَّ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ سَيِّدِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْأَنْبِيَاءِ, and may peace and blessings be upon the master of the prophets and the messengers, Muhammad وَآلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ النُّجَبَىٰ, Muhammad and his companions who are virtuous. And then he said, أَمَّا بَعْد, to proceed, فَهَذِهِ جُمْلَةٌ مُخْتَصِرَةٌ مِنْ أَحْوَالِ سَيِّدِنَا وَنَبِيِّنَا الْمُصْطَفَىٰ. He said, this is a brief overview of the description of the life of our Sayyid, our Prophet Al-Mustafa Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لا يستغني عنها أحد من المسلمين. He said nobody from amongst the Muslims is not in need of this introduction. Meaning every single Muslim, whether it is a commoner, an army, or whether that person is a scholar or a talib al-ilm, male or female, old or young, every single one of us as Muslims, we need to know the basic life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, نَفَعَنَ اللَّهُ بِهَا وَمَنْ قَرَأَهَا وَسَمِعَهَا. May the one who reads this treatise benefit, and the one who listens to this treatise also benefit. And then the author, Al-Hafidh Abdul Ghani, he began by mentioning the name and the lineage of your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, Nasabuhu, his lineage. And when we say lineage, Nasab, we mean what was the name of the father of the Prophet and the grandfather of the Prophet and his father and his father and the forefathers of the Prophet. This is called a Nasab. He said, Fahuwa Abu al-Qasim, that the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is Abu al-Qasim, Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib ابن هاشم ابن عبد مناف ابن قصي ابن كلاب ابن مرة ابن كعب ابن لؤي ابن غالب ابن فهر ابن مالك ابن نضر ابن كنانة ابن خزيمة ابن مدركة ابن إلياس ابن مضر ابن نزار ابن معد ابن عدنان ابن أد ابن آل مقوم ابن ناحور ابن تيرح ابن يعرب ابن يشجب ابن نابت ابن إسماعيل ابن إبراهيم خليل الرحمن ابن تارح وهو آزر ابن ناحور ابن سارو ابن راعو ابن فالخ ابن عيبر ابن شالخ ابن أرفخشد ابن سام ابن نوح ابن لمك ابن متوشلخ ابن أخنوخ وهو إدريس النبي فيما يزعمون وهو أول بني آدم أعطي النبوة وخط بالقلم ابن يردى ابن مهليل ابن قنين ابن يانش ابن شيث ابن آدم عليه السلام. Meaning this is the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, beginning with his kunya, his name, his father, his grandfather, all the way to Adam alayhi salam. And he began by mentioning the lineage, by mentioning the kunya. And the meaning of kunya is a nickname which somebody chooses if it's a male beginning with Abu something and if it's a female beginning with And often it goes back to the eldest son. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one of his sons was Al-Qasim. This was the name of one of the sons of the Prophet Al-Qasim. And so the Prophet took the kunya Abu al-Qasim. And al-Qasim was the eldest son of the Prophet. However, he died in his infancy. So al-Qasim, the son of the Prophet, he never lived older than infancy or above infancy. And this nasab, this lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it goes back to Adam. And in this nasab are other prophets and messengers like Idris and Ibrahim and Ismail and before them Nuh. And so the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is Sharif. And the meaning of Sharif is a noble lineage, a lineage of nobility. Because Quraysh, they were the best of the Arabs. And Banu Hashim, they were the best of the Quraysh. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was from Quraysh and he was from Banu Hashim. So amongst the Arabs, the best lineage, the most noble tribe was the tribe of Quraysh and the tribe of Bani Hashim. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was from this lineage. And the prophets and the messengers, all of them were Sharif. Meaning all of them had a high, noble lineage. And there's a wisdom why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to have a noble lineage. And this is because a person might have claimed against the Prophet that the only reason why you are claiming prophethood is because you're not a noble person. You're a commoner. And therefore you want some type of authority over the people. So in order for the enemies of Islam not to have this argument, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's already of a noble lineage. So if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam already has nobility and authority, and the Quraysh, all of them, they know this and they respect this, then this shows that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with his message of Tawheed, he didn't want authority amongst the people. He didn't want nobility amongst the people, because he already had the nobility. He was born with the nobility, because he was Sharif, and his lineage was all Sharif, and his grandfather Abdul Muttalib was a chief of the best tribe, and his great grandfather was a chief of the greatest tribe of the Arabs, and in his grandparents was Ismail and Ibrahim and Idris and Nuh all the way to Adam alayhim assalam. So this is one of the benefits why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, why he was sent with a noble lineage. This shows that the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not for any worldly gain. Neither was it to gain authority. Neither was it to gain nobility. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was born noble. He was born Sharif. And his lineage was Sharif. And therefore, his message was only to call the people to At-Tawheed. And this is also something which we as Muslims should be proud over. That your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was of a noble lineage. He was a Sharif. And his lineage was noble. And the place where he was born was honored, i.e. Mecca. And his manners was noble, and his message was also noble. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's often referred to as being Ashraful Anbiya wa Sayyidu Waladi Adam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's Ashraful Anbiya. And the meaning of Ashraful Anbiya, i.e. the most Sharif amongst the Prophets, meaning in terms of lineage, his lineage is the most Sharif, i.e. his lineage is the most noble. The highest lineage was the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this is the meaning of Ashraful Anbiya. And also he is Sayyidu Walidi Adam. He is the master of the children of Adam. Of all humans, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is a Sayyid. Because he has the best lineage. So he was the best human from amongst the humans. From the best tribe, from the best prophets and the messengers. And this is the meaning of Ashraful Anbiya wa Sayyidu Waladi Adam. And in a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned his nobility, his sharaf. He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى كِنَانَةَ مِنْ وَلَدِ إِسْمَعِيلِ. That Allah chose and preferred Kinana from the children of Ismail. Meaning Prophet Ismail, he had a number of children. And the most noble of these children was somebody called Kinana. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he chose Kinana and he made him more virtuous than the other children. وَاصْطَفَى قُرَيْشًا مِنْ كِنَانَةٍ. And then Kinana had many children. And one of his children was Quraysh. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then made Quraysh more noble than the other children. وَاصْطَفَى بَنِي هَاشِمْ مِنْ قُرَيْشِ. Then Quraysh, who was a man, he also had children. And the best of his children was Hashim. So then Allah chose Hashim from amongst the children of Quraysh. And then the Prophet said, وَاصْطَفَانِي مِنْ بَنِي هَاشِمْ. And then Allah preferred me from the children of Hashim. And then he said, فَأَنَا سَيِّدُ وَلَدِ آدَمْ وَلَا فَخَرْ. So I am the best and the master of all the children of Adam, وَلَا فَخَرْ, however, without arrogance. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, why did he mention this? Not to show pride or arrogance over the people, but to show the people that I haven't come with you, I haven't come to you with the message of Tawheed in order to seek nobility from you, because Allah has already ennobled me, because I am the best of Bani Hashim, and Bani Hashim was the best of Quraysh, and Quraysh was the best from Kinana, and Kinana was the best from Ismail. And Allah chose all of them and made all of them dignified. He said, فَأَنَا سَيِّدُ وَلَدِ آدَمٍ. So I am the best and the master of the humans. وَلَا فَخَرٍ. However, without arrogance and pride. وَأَوَّلُ مَن تَنْشَقُ عَنْهُ الْأَرْضِ. And I am the first one that when the trumpet is blown again, who will be resurrected. So the first to be resurrected will be the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ شَافِعٍ وَأَوَّلُ مُشَفَّعٍ. And I am the first one who will seek intercession on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And I am the first one whose intercession will be accepted. So this hadith, it shows us the nobility of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and also the purity of the message of our Prophet. That because Allah brought him into existence, ennobled by way of lineage, he didn't seek nobility through his da'wah. And his kunya is Abu al-Qasim. And the ulama, they differed. Is it allowed for a person to have this kunya Abu al-Qasim? Is it allowed for us now to have this nickname Abu al-Qasim? Because in a hadith which is authentic in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "Sammu bismi wa la takunnu bi kunyati." That you can have my name, you can name your children with my name, but don't use my kunya, meaning don't use Abu al-Qasim. And this hadith is in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. So based on this, the ulama, they differed whether it's allowed for a person to have this nickname Abu al-Qasim, this kunya. So some of the ulama, they said it isn't allowed for a person to have this nickname Abu al-Qasim. Others said that it isn't allowed for a person to combine between the name Muhammad and Abu al-Qasim. Meaning, either your name can be Muhammad and your kunya is something else, or your kunya can be Abu al-Qasim, but your name has to be something else. As for combining between Abu al-Qasim and Muhammad as a name and a kunya, this is not permitted. Other ulama, they said that this is something which is disliked. It's disliked for a person to have the name Abu al-Qasim or have the kunya Abu al-Qasim. So it's allowed to have the name Muhammad or any name. However, the kunya Abu al-Qasim is something which is disliked. Al-Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimullah, his view on this is that it is permitted for a person to have the kunya Abu al-Qasim, and it is permitted for a person to have the name Muhammad. And the reasoning behind this is because this hadith, it only applies to the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Tasammu bismi wa la takunnu bi kunyati," that use my name but don't use my kunya, Ibn Baz rahimullah said that this ruling was specific to his lifetime for two reasons. The first reason is the story of this hadith, and that is that one day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was in the marketplace, and a man behind him said, "Ya Abu al-Qasim, O Abu al-Qasim," he shouted out, "O Abu al-Qasim." فَالْتَفَتَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he turned to this man. He said, "Yes, what do you want? You've called me." The man said, "Ya Rasulullah, إِنِّي لَا أُرِيدُكَ." He said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, I wasn't calling you. I was calling somebody else. There was somebody else. His kunya was Abu al-Qasim. I wasn't intending you." And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Name your children with my name, but don't use my kunya." So now that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has passed away, this no longer applies. Meaning at that time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he forbade the people saying Abu al-Qasim, because maybe the Prophet turns to them and they weren't calling him, they were calling somebody else. So for this reason, at the time of the Prophet, using Abu al-Qasim as a kunya was not allowed. Now that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has passed away, it is allowed. The second reason why Sheikh bin Baz had this view was because towards the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he allowed some of the companions to use this kunya after he has died. So in the hadith of Ali, and the hadith is in Sunan at-Tirmidhi, Ali radiallahu anhu said to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, أَرَأَيْتَ أَنْ وُلِدَ لِي بَعْدَكَ وَلَدٌ أُسَمِّيهِ مُحَمَّدًا. That say, if after you die, a child is born to me and I call him Muhammad, وَأُكَنِّيهِ بِكُنْيَتِكَ, and I give him the kunya which is your kunya, meaning Abu al-Qasim. Ali radiallahu anhu said to the Prophet, O Messenger of Allah, after you die, let's say a boy is born and I give him your name Muhammad. Can I also use your kunya Abu al-Qasim? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Naam, yes. So this hadith shows that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he permitted the use of his name and his kunya Abu al-Qasim after his life. And Ibn Baz, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he gave permission to Ali, wal idhnu li aliyin idhnu linnas. And the fact that the Prophet gave permission to Ali radiallahu anhu means that he gave permission to the rest of the people. So it is allowed for a person, according to the view of a Sheikh Ibn Baz, to have the name Muhammad as well as Abu al-Qasim. There are other contemporary scholars like a Sheikh al-Albani and a Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad who say that it is better for a person to avoid Abu al-Qasim. Even after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is better for a person to avoid Abu al-Qasim. And so Abu al-Qasim is the kunya of the Prophet and his name is Muhammad. This name Muhammad, this was a name which was very rare amongst the Arabs. So the name Ahmad was more usual, more common. As for the name Muhammad, when the Prophet was named with this name when he was born, then it was very rare for the people to have this name. And his father's name was Abdullah. And his grandfather is known as Abdul Muttalib. However, Abdul Muttalib isn't the name of his grandfather. It's a nickname which was given to his grandfather. And the actual name of Abdul Muttalib is Shaybatul Hamd. So the name of Abdul Muttalib is Shaybatul Hamd. However, Abdul Muttalib became known as his nickname. And Abdul Muttalib was one of the sons of Hashim. And this is why we say Bani Hashim, the tribe of Hashim, or Hashimiyin. And in English we say the Hashimites, meaning the father of Abdul Muttalib, who was Hashim. And Hashim, his name was Amr. And Hashim was the son of Abdi Manaf, whose name was Al-Mughira. And he was the son of Qusay, and his name was Zayd. Ibn Kilab, Ibn Murrah, Ibn Ka'b, Ibn Lu'ay, Ibn Ghalib, Ibn Fihrin. And this person, Fihr ibn Malik, he was Quraysh. So Quraysh was one of the great-great-grandfathers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was also a person. However, his name wasn't Quraysh. This was a nickname. The name of Quraysh was Fihr ibn Malik. And then it goes on to Ismail, to Ibrahim, and all the way to Adam alayhi salam. And the ulama, they mention that this nasab of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is divided into three parts. One part of it, it's absolutely correct. The second part of it, we're not sure. Some of it may be correct, some of it may not be correct. And the third part of this lineage to Adam, we know definitely there's some mistakes in it. So, Al-Mubarak Furi in Ar-Rahiq Al-Makhtum, he said that the nasab of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is in three parts. From Muhammad to Adnan, the scholars of lineage, all of them have agreed that it is authentic. So from Muhammad to Adnan, it is authentic and correct. So when we say that he is Muhammad, ابن عبد الله ابن عبد المطلب ابن هاشم ابن عبد مناف ابن قصي ابن كلاب ابن مرة ابن كعب ابن لؤي ابن غالب ابن فهر ابن مالك ابن نضر ابن كنانة ابن خزيمة ابن مدرك ابن الياس ابن مضر ابن نزار ابن معد ابن عدنان. All of this, the ulama, they have completely agreed that this is correct and this is authentic. And Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned the Ahlul Sir wa Ahlul Nasab, that the ulama of Sir, the biographies, and the ulama of lineage, Arab lineage, all of them have completely agreed from Muhammad to Adnan, this is completely authentic. Then the second part is from Adnan to Ibrahim. And Adnan to Ibrahim, some of it is correct and some of it may be incorrect. We're not sure. And as for Ibrahim to Adam alayhi salam, then he said that no doubt there is mistakes in this. So we show about Muhammad to Adnan. And then the author, he said that this nasab was mentioned by Muhammad ibn Ishaq ibn Yasar al-Madani in one of his narrations. He said, وَإِلَىٰ عَدْنَانَ مُتَّفِقٌ عَلَىٰ صِحَتِهِ. That to Adnan, it is agreed that it is authentic. وَمَا بَعْدَهُ مُخْتَلَفٌ فِيهِ. And as for that which is above Adnan, this is where the difference has occurred. And he said, Quraysh, he is Fihr ibn Malik. We said that the name of Quraysh is Fihr ibn Malik. Of course, for a person to memorize all of the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Ibrahim or to Adam is difficult. And Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he summarized the lineage in Al-Usul Al-Thalatha. And this is the minimum which we should be memorizing. So Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab in Al-Usul Al-Thalatha, he said that he is Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abd al-Muttalib ibn Hashim. Wa Hashim min Quraysh, wa Quraysh min al-Arab, wal Arab min dhurriyati Ismail ibn Ibrahim Khalilur Rahman alayhi salatu wa salam. This is something that we should memorize. I, the name of the Prophet, his father, his grandfather, his great grandfather, then his tribe Quraysh. And that the Quraysh are from the Arabs, and the Arabs are from Ismail. And they are from Ibrahim al-Khalil, and he was a great prophet and messenger of Allah. So this is what I want the young brothers to memorize. And if you're not sure, then go back to Al-Usul al-Thalatha and you will find it written there. After this, the author, he mentioned the mother of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The father we know, he's Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib. Who was the mother of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? He said, "Wa ummu Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam," the mother of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, her name was Amina bintu Wahab, and she was the daughter of Wahab ibn Abdi Manaf, who was the son of Abdu Munaf, ibn Zuhra, and he was the son of Zuhra, ibn Kilab, and he was the son of Kilab, ibn Murra, ibn Ka'b, ibn Lu'ay, ibn Ghalib. And if you look at this lineage and compare this lineage with the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you'll find that the father of the Prophet and the mother of the Prophet, the both of them were related to each other. They were from the same tribe. Both of them were Qurashiyin and Hashimiyin. And they met with each other at the fourth grandfather. So the father and the mother of the Prophet, Abdullah and Amina, they weren't closely related to each other. However, they were related to each other at the fourth grandfather. And he is Kilab ibn Murra. And the fact that the father of the Prophet Abdullah came from the Quraysh, and the mother of the Prophet also came from the Quraysh, also shows us the nobility of the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. People ask that those who came before the Prophet and they passed away before the Prophet meeting them, do they die as Muslims or did they die as Kuffar? And there are a group of people who are known as Ahlul Fitrah. And Ahlul Fitrah refers to those people who came between one messenger to another messenger. Meaning, there was Isa alayhi salam, and then after him there was no messenger until Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And between Isa and Muhammad is 571 years. So between Isa And the prophethood of Muhammad is 571 years. Those generations who came between this time, what's the ruling regarding them? And amongst them is the father and the mother of the Prophet, and the grandparents of the Prophet, and the great-grandparents of the Prophet. Were they Muslim? Were they Muslims? Were they kuffar? Were they mushrikeen or not? And the ulama, they divide Ahlul Fitra into two types. Amongst the Ahlul Fitra, those people who the da'wah of Tawheed came to. And amongst them are those who the da'wah of Tawheed did not come to. Meaning, even before the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he was born, there were a group of people to whom the message of Tawheed came. And they were known as being Hunafa, i.e. they were upon the message of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Because Ibrahim alayhi salam, he is Al-Hanif. So even before the Prophet, there were remnants of the Jews, and there were remnants of the Christians, and there were also remnants of Al-Hunafa, those who were upon the way of Tawheed, those who were upon the path of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And then there were others from Ahlul Fitra who the message of Tawheed never came to. Those people to whom the message came to, they two types. Those who accepted the message and those who went against Tawheed and they went towards Ash-Shirk. So for example, Qiss ibn Sa'ida came before the Prophet. He never met the Prophet, but he died upon At-Tawheed because he was from the Hunafa. And also Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufail, who used to have his back against the Kaaba and he used to tell the people, don't worship these idols, only worship Allah alone. And this was before the Prophet came, because he was upon the original message of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So these people were the people of At-Tawheed, even though they came before the Prophet. Then there were others who were also from the people of Al-Fitra, to whom the message came and they rejected the message of Ibrahim. Like for example, Amr ibn Luhay, he brought the idols to Mecca. And from amongst those people are the father and the mother of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the father and the mother of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were from those people who came after Isa but before the coming of the Prophet. But the message of Tawheed came to them, and yet they continued upon their shirk. And the authentic ahadith, they tell us that both the mother and the father of the Prophet, both of them died upon al-kufr, and both of them are in the fire. Both of these ahadith are in Sahih Muslim. In the hadith of Abu Huraira, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, استأذنت ربي أن أستغفر لأمي. I sought permission from my Lord that I could make istighfar for my mother. فلم يأذن لي. And my Lord did not allow me to make istighfar for my mother. And the only people that were not allowed to make istighfar for are the kuffar. And he said, واستأذنته أن أزور قبرها فأذن لي. And then I sought permission from my Lord to allow me to visit the grave of my mother, and he allowed me to do so. From this hadith, the ulama took the benefit that it's allowed for a person to visit the grave of the kuffar, the mushrikun, but it's not allowed for a person to make istighfar for the people of shirk who have passed away. So this hadith clearly shows us that the mother of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she died upon kufr and she is in the fire. Also the father of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the hadith of Anas, and the hadith is also in Sahih Muslim. Anna rajulan qal ya Rasulullah ayna abi. That a man said, O Messenger of Allah, where is my father? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, finnar. That your father is in the fire. Falamma qada da'ahu. And then when the man started walking away, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam called him back. And he said, Inna abi wa abaka finnar. That both my father and your father, both of them are in the fire. So both of these ahadith, and they are both authentic without any doubt. They show us that the father of the Prophet and the mother of the Prophet, both of them, they died upon shirk, the message of the Hunafa came to them, they rejected the message of Tawheed, and therefore they died upon Kufr and they are in the fire. This type of information, two ways for us to know this information. Either we can learn it through history or science, or we can learn it through revelation. And history and science didn't tell us where the father and the mother of the Prophet were. So therefore the only reply we have left is the revelation. We have to look at the revelation. And that the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is revelation, this tells us that both of them are in the fire. A person might say that this is disrespectful towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can the Prophet be born to a woman who enters into the fire? And how can the father of the Prophet be in the fire? And this isn't something which is new. In the Quran, we have that the father of Ibrahim alayhi salam was a kafir and a mushrik. And the wife of Lut, and the son of Nuh, and the uncle of the Prophet Abu Talib, and the grandfather of the uncle Abdul Muttalib, all of them were from the people of the fire. And Allah said regarding Ibrahim alayhi salam, He said, فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ أَنَّهُ عَدُوٌ لِلَّهِ تَبَرَّأَ مِنْهُ That when it came clear to Ibrahim that his father was an enemy of Allah, then he freed himself from Ibrahim. So the fact that a prophet's father, a mother, or children, or uncles didn't accept Islam, or they were from the people of the fire, this is nothing which is new. This isn't disrespectful. And this is because the lineage of a person doesn't save a person from Jahannam, and neither does the lineage of a person enter a person into Jannah. Only Tawheed saves a person from the fire, and only Tawheed enters a person into Jannah. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said this clearly to his own relatives. When Allah revealed to his Prophet, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ When he said, O Prophet, go warn your close relatives. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he stood on the mountain. And then he turned to his tribe and his people. He said, Ya ma'ashara Quraysh, O congregation of Quraysh, ishtaru anfusakum, la aghni ankum min Allahi shay'a. He said, O congregation of Quraysh, i.e. his tribe, I cannot benefit you, I cannot save you in front of Allah. Meaning save yourselves by accepting Tawheed. If you don't accept Tawheed, I cannot save you when it comes with Allah. Then he said, Ya Bani Abd Manaf, O tribe of Abdul Manaf, O children of Abdul Manaf, meaning his uncles. La ugni ankum min Allahi shay'a. In front of Allah, I can do nothing for you. Then he turned to his own uncle Al-Abbas. He said, Ya Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib, O Abbas, the son of Abdul Muttalib. La ugni anka min Allahi shay'a. I cannot benefit you in front of Allah in anything. Then he turned to his auntie Safiya. He said, Ya Safiya, Ammata Rasulillahi, O Safiya, the auntie of the Messenger of Allah, La ugni anki min Allahi shay'a. I cannot benefit you in front of Allah with anything. I cannot save you with Allah from anything. Then he turned to his own daughter. He said, Ya Fatimata binta Muhammadin, O Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad, Salini min mali ma shi'ti. Whatever you want from my wealth and my property, you can have it. La ugni anki min Allahi shay'a. As for with Allah, I cannot benefit you at all. Meaning the only thing which benefits you is at-tawheed and your Islam, your worship. As for your relation to me, I cannot benefit you. And this hadith is in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And Allah said in the Quran, He said, مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَوْ كَانُوا أُولِي قُرْبَى That it is not correct for the Prophet, nor for the people of Iman, that they should seek forgiveness for the people of Shirk, even if they are relatives to them. So the fact that the father and the mother of the Prophet, both of them died upon Kufr and they are in the fire, this isn't something which is disrespectful to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we only say this because it is in the clear hadith. At the same time, a person has to be careful when talking to those people who are ignorant. Because as you know, this is something which is sensitive and also something which is emotional. So you have to be very careful in addressing the people according to their intellect. And then after this, the author, he mentions the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam born? He said, وَوُلِدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ بِمَكَّةَ عَامَ الْفِيلِ. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was born in Mecca in the year of the elephant. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was born in Mecca in the year of the elephant. And the year of the elephant was an occurrence which occurred when an Abyssinian king called Abraha, he was a Christian, and he built a great church in Yemen. They came from Abyssinia, which is Ethiopia, Sudan, Eritrea, Djibouti, and that area. By ships they came to Yemen and they conquered Yemen. And they forced the people of Yemen to accept Christianity. And then they built this great, magnificent church. And then they wanted to force the people of Arabia to be upon Christianity. So they heard of the Kaaba and they came to Mecca in order to destroy the Kaaba. So then the people turned toward this great church which he had built. And he brought with him a great elephant, because the Quraysh and the Arabs, they had never seen such an animal. This animal was in Africa, in Habash and Abyssinia. It wasn't known to the Arabs. So when he brought this great elephant, the Arabs would become scared. So the army of Abraha with many people and this great elephant, they came to Mecca in order to destroy the Kaaba. And Abdul Muttalib, he came out to Abraha. And he told him about the sanctity of the place, of the Kaaba and of Mecca, and not to destroy Mecca. But he refused and he wanted to conquer Mecca. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent birds who pelted stones upon his army and they were destroyed. And this is why Suratul Fil was revealed. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. Do you not see what your Lord did with the army of the elephant? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was born in the same year of this incident. And he was born in Mecca. The author said, في شهر ربيع الأول, in the month of ربيع الأول. He said, لليلتين خلتا منه يوم الاثنين. That he was born on a Monday, on the second of ربيع الأول. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was born on the second of Rabi'ul Awwal, on a Monday, on the year of the elephant. He said that some of them said that the Prophet was born after the year of the elephant by 30 years. Some of them said he was born after the year of the elephant by 40 years. Some, he said, however, the most authentic opinion is he was born in the year of the elephant. With regards to the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are 18 different opinions when he was born. And I will just list them for you. Some of the mu'arrikhin, the scholars of tariq, they mention he was born on the first of Rabi'ul Awwal. Others said the second of Rabi'ul Awwal, mentioned by Ibn Sa'd. Some said the eighth of Rabi'ul Awwal, mentioned by Ibn Abdul Barr in Al-Isti'ab. Some of them said the 9th of Rabi al-Awwal. Some of them said the 10th of Rabi al-Awwal. Some of them said the 11th, like Ibn al-Jawzi. Some of them said the 12th, like Ibn Hisham. Some said the 17th, mentioned by Ibn Kathir in Al-Bidayah. Some of them said the 18th of Rabi al-Awwal. Some of them said the first Monday of Rabi al-Awwal. We don't know what date, but it was the first Monday of Rabi al-Awwal. Some of them said he was born on the 18th of Ramadan. Some of them said he was born 15 years before the year of the elephant. Some of them said 10 years before the year of the elephant. Some of them said he was born in the month of Muharram, or the month of Safar, or the month of Rajab, or the month of Rabi' al-Thani. So the point is that there are 18 different opinions when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. Of course, the companions, they could have easily asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he was born. And the reason why they didn't do so is because the birth of the Prophet has no significance in Islam. So had the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had any significance in Islam, the companions would have asked him. They lived 23 years with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam after prophethood, i.e. 23 birthdays that they could have celebrated. 23 birthdays which they could have found out and written when he was born. And yet none of them they found out or questioned him. And this shows that the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it has no relevance in al-Islam. What we do know is that he was born on the year of the elephant. And most likely he was born in Rabi'ul Awwal. And most likely he was born on the 7th or the 9th or the 11th of Rabi'ul Awwal on a Monday, but we are not exact. But we know he was born on a Monday, because this is in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Mubarak Furi, he mentions that if we're going to convert the second Rabi'ul Awwal, the year of the elephant, to the Gregorian calendar, then he was born on the 22nd of April, 571 Miladi, meaning 571 years after the appearance of Isa alayhi salam, the 22nd of April, according to one opinion. The ulama mentioned, some of them, that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born, a great light appeared from the horizon. And this is one of the miracles which happened. And there are other narrations, and we don't know whether they are authentic or not. So some of the narrations mention that when the Prophet was born, the fire that the people were worshipping, this fire was extinguished. Some of the narrations mention that when the Prophet was born, some of the churches, they were destroyed. And the ulama, they're not sure whether these narrations are authentic or they are fabricated, or they are weak. And the reason is because such narrations, they have no basis in terms of our worship. So the scholars of tafsir, they may mention these narrations, but these narrations, they have no basis on our worship. So they are mentioned without us saying whether these narrations are authentic or they are not authentic. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born, his mother Amina, she sent Muhammad, the newborn baby, to his grandfather Abdul Muttalib. And Abdul Muttalib, he carried this baby to the Kaaba. And then he showed this baby to all the people. And then Abdul Muttalib named him Muhammad. So the name Muhammad, which means the praised one, this was a name which was given by Abdul Muttalib, and it wasn't a name which was common at that time. And and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one of his nicknames is Ibn Dhabihatain. One of the nicknames of the Prophet is Ibn Dhabihatain. For next week, I want you to do some homework. And the homework is, what is the meaning of Ibn Dhabihatain? And why was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam called Ibn Dhabihatain? So one of his nicknames is Ibn Dhabihatain. What is the meaning of Ibn Dhabihatain? And why was he called Ibn Dhabihatain? So next week we have two homeworks. The first homework is to memorize the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the one which Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab mentioned in Al-Usul Al-Thalatha, that he is Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hashim. Wal Hashim min Quraysh, wal Quraysh min al-Arab, wal Arab min dhurriyati Ismail ibn Ibrahim. So we suffice with that بإذن الله. هذا والله أعلم صلى الله على نبينا وسلم.